Good evening and welcome to the Johnson County Community College Board of Trustees December 12th meeting. It looks like we have six of the seven of us, so I believe that that's a quorum, and we are going to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I've already gone out of order, so that's the fun we're in for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're going to go right to our awards and recognitions with our student spotlight, Elizabeth and Dr. Korb, if you'll introduce us.
Absolutely. So it's our pleasure tonight to have with us Elizabeth Taylor. And so Elizabeth, if you want to come to the podium, I had a chance to visit a little bit with her, and so she'll share her story, and then you can ask some questions if you want.
Wonderful.
Hello. First off, I'd like to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to speak in front of you tonight. My name is Elizabeth Taylor, and I'm currently in my first semester at JCCC. I graduated from Olathe West this past May, and I have really been enjoying my time here so far. This time last year, in the midst of college applications and the midway through my senior year, I had no idea where I was going to be a year from then. And I'm really glad I ended up here. It was between KU, Mizzou, Arkansas, Florida was even thrown in there for a little bit. But I'm glad I ended up here. I have most of my basic credit classes done, so I've been in a lot of more of the elective classes to fill my requirements, and I've taken a great interest in the journalism department here. I have found that those classes are really great and some of my favorite ones that I've taken so far. When I was in high school, I spent 3 years on the yearbook staff and 1 year as co-editor-in-chief, where that's really where the foundation of my love for journalism started, with my incredible advisor and just the people that I was surrounded around. That's where my love for journalism grew. We got to cover different stories in all different unique kinds of ways. And it's definitely different from newspaper coverage. That's a quick turnaround. Everyone sees your stuff right away, but yearbook, wait till the end of the year and everyone sees it. So just getting to cover things like that was very rewarding. I knew when I came to JCCC, I wanted to get involved in journalism in some way. So when the opportunity to be the editor-in-chief of the new student media site came, I knew I had to do it. So that is currently what I'm doing now, and it's definitely the highlight. I'm not done yet, but it is definitely the highlight of my time here. I've had the opportunity to rebuild what was once the Campus Ledger. We are now the Messenger. Whole new name, new logo, new website, new social media, everything from scratch. We have a podcast, video section, photography. We're going to have stories, all of the good news stuff. And the website is not launched yet, but our social media is. So we are getting there very slowly, but it is going very well so far. And I'm very excited for that, for people to finally see that. One of my biggest goals with The Messenger is telling the stories of everyone here at JCCC. There is people here in all different stages of life, and I think getting to cover all those people and the community around us, that's my biggest goal. I also just want to make it super accessible. If you're looking for news, it's going to be on The Messenger. And when I'm not here at school, I'm working for Johnson County Parks and Rec. I do after-school programs with elementary-age kids from kindergarten to fifth grade. Every Monday through Friday, before and after school, I am hanging out with those kids. I'm a lead teacher, and I love my job getting to work with them. We do such fun activities, and I would honestly credit my leadership skills to my year spent as co-editor-in-chief, but also to my afternoon spent wrangling 50 children every day. As I look ahead to next year, I'm hoping to continue my education at KU or Mizzou in one of their excellent journalism programs. So, yeah, that's my story.
Thank you for that. I apologize that I missed the beginning of your presentation. I hate missing that because it's my favorite part of the board meeting, as everyone knows. But apparently a couple of cars decided to collide with one another on College Boulevard, and so I was navigating that. But anyway, thanks for your comments. Journalism major.
Yes.
Awesome. And it sounds like you're doing some terrific things. Any questions or comments? Yes, go right ahead. Trustee Rattan.
I want to say thank you for being a JCPRD teacher. First of all, my kids loved JCPRD and the teachers. And I think that's a gift that you can work with kids. I also like that your passion has met opportunity here at JCCC, and you're also doing some rebuilding, which is different than just taking something over and continuing it. You're charting kind of a new path, and it feels like journalism is really like journalism's changing, you know, newspaper, magazine, online podcasts, and what else ever is next. So thanks for being a part of that, and it sounds like it's a really exciting field to be in.
Yeah.
And then I just love that you said something to the Ken of everyone has a story, because everyone does have a story, and you know what makes them tick or what their passions are. And so thanks for pursuing that and highlighting that here at in our community. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Cross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Elizabeth, thank you for being here. And I, just piggybacking on what Trustee Rattan just said, the great Ronald Reagan speechwriter Peggy Noonan said one time that everyone you meet has lived a Russian novel. And it's when you stop and think about it, what each of us has gone through just to be here, it's really amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Further quoting some other of my favorite anecdotes, in one of my favorite TV shows, The West Wing, a reporter had come home from Africa and was kind of upset that he was assigned to the White House, mm-hmm. which is typically a fairly prestigious gig. But he was used to the adrenaline and I think being in the field and covering the really exciting world of African politics and economics and everything else that goes on. And the White House, he says to the White House chief, the press secretary, that he didn't want to be there, or it was a boring gig. And so later on, she asked him, were you serious about that? And he's like, yeah, I want to get out there and get the story. He goes, I can't think of a better time to be good at what I do. And I think we're in transition here between all the podcasts and the way we're all fractionalized. But many of us pay a lot of money to know what's real. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to give you that bit of statement or advice, if I may, because we still need to know what's real. These podcasts are here to stay, and I think it just sort of has replaced talk radio. So I boil it down in my litigator brain, but I'll be quiet and just say thank you for being here.
Thank you, Trustee Mitchell, and then Trustee Jennings.
Interesting you would say that, Trustee Cross, because I was going to ask, how do we subscribe to the podcast?
It's not live yet, but it will be on all podcast forms, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them, it will be there.
Probably be called Messenger.
The Messenger Mic'd Up is its official name. And there will be 2 posting days for a week. One will be a longer episode, about an hour, and then we'll have the mini Messenger Mic'd Up, which will be about 30 minutes.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Trustee Jennings.
Elizabeth, I have a question for you. So you created the new launch this fall for the Messenger and then pulled your team together and have been working on making those changes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I was hired in October, about the middle of October, so kind of not the typical for an editor to come in. Usually they'd be hired in the spring. Mm-hmm. So we've been kind of building from October, and then we just hired our editorial board, and we're working on hiring our freelancers to come in. So everything will really take off next semester.
I'm impressed and really excited to see it. And I loved what you had to say, that if you need to know anything, go to the Messenger, because it'll all be there.
Yeah, that's the
goal.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? The mini Messenger, 30 minutes, perfect for my commute. I can't wait. So thank you very much for sharing your story. Super excited to see what you accomplish in the future, because Lord knows you're on your way. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is now that time in our meeting for the open forum. The open forum section of the board agenda is a time for members of the community to provide comments to the board. There will be one open forum period during each regularly scheduled board meeting. Comments are limited to 5 minutes unless a significant number of people plan to speak, and in that instance, the chair may limit a person's comments to less than 5 minutes. In order to be recognized, individuals must register at the door 15 minutes prior to each regularly scheduled board meeting. When addressing the board, registered speakers are asked to remain at the podium, should be respectful and civil, and are encouraged to address individual personnel or student matters directly with the appropriate college department. As a practice, the college does not respond in this setting when the matter concerns personnel or student issues or matters that are being addressed through our established grievance or suggestion processes or otherwise the subject of review by the college or board. It's my understanding there are no registered speakers at tonight's meeting. And so with that, we will move on to the agenda, providing I can keep my voice here. And the next section is board reports. We'll start with Logan Grigsby with the Student Senate report.
Good evening, distinguished board. I have good news and bad news. That news is that this will be a very short update tonight. That is good news if you want to go home early. That is bad news if you like hearing me talk.
That's awesome.
So we have, for our mid-semester election, we have one new senator joining us. That is Mackenzie Simpson. We are super proud to have her on board. We have had no budget requests and no new clubs approved in the last 2 weeks. We've kind of just been winding down. Everybody's been kind of busy preparing for finals, so no new budget requests, no new clubs approved. I'd like to move on to fall events. We've had our JCC Gives. We have been wrapping up this week, literally and figuratively, from finals to wrapping up all these presents for JCC Gives. Together as Senate, we've raised over $2,500. We helped 9 families and 31 individuals purchasing 93 gifts for members of the JCC community. That includes staff, faculty, students, and direct family of students and faculty. This has been a wonderful experience. This has been really touching the heart for us, and we're really happy that we got to take part in this. We held Interclub last Friday on 12/6/24. We had about a dozen clubs in attendance, and we went over Moving Your Constipated Vision, a leadership training session by Terry C. Houston. Over the winter break, we are going to do a couple things. Monday, January 13th, we'll be holding our Student Senate Retreat, where we will be holding leadership development and training for our senators, as well as building out a plan of action for the spring semester. The day after that, Tuesday, January 14th, we will be working with our clubs and organizations to help kick off the spring semester with our clubs and organizations fair. This will have leadership training where we will help clubs be the best that they can be. I now yield my time to the floor for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Grigsby. Did I hear you say moving your constipated vision?
You heard correctly.
That's a phrase I want to remember. I feel that a lot, the constipated vision. I just want to comment before I open it up to my colleagues on the board. It has been fun watching you over the course of the semester develop in the way you speak, the things that you tell us. You feel you look so much more comfortable at the podium, and I look forward to your comments every month. You're always so excited and animated to tell you what Student Senate is doing, and so congratulations to you. I just wanted to make that observation. Any other comments or questions for Mr. Grigsby? Trustee Cross.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Logan, I think you may be the first student to ever call me personally, and I'm flattered that you did so. I hope you don't mind me sharing.
Absolutely.
A couple of student presidents have reached out to me, and I've been in contact with them, but Madam Chair, he's considering becoming an attorney, and he called me for advice, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to call you out. I just think that's a sign of a very good professional and a very good attorney to call and ask, because there's simply so much we don't know. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to commend you on that and say good luck to all you do.
So. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you taking the time to pick up the phone and take the time out to
You're
talk
welcome.
To me. I know very busy schedules for everybody.
I'm happy to make the time.
Trustee Jennings.
I just want to say thank you again, Logan. And I'm sad because it's a short one tonight, because your humor is wonderful. It's really fun to listen to you and see the confidence that you are building, and then just your enthusiasm for what you are doing and the excitement that you show. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you so much, Logan, and have a happy holidays.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is our report from Mr. Dick Carter, our college lobbyist. Love
the pants.
You're rocking it.
Well, not to be outdone by Logan, I too have good news and bad news. The good news is that I had intended to deliver my report in iambic pentameter this evening. The bad news is this week was a practice week for the coming legislative session, and so you're just going to get plain words instead, because I found myself early in the morning and late in the evening attending to meetings all across the state, actually. We are at the point in the calendar year where groups begin to meet with legislators, and this year in particular because of the election, and there are many new legislators that will be a part of the process in Topeka in 2025. And so their calendars are full. Our calendars are full as well, and we did that this week. We met with not quite half of the Johnson County delegation and had good conversations. And we do that every year, starting in December. This year, I think, was particularly good in that we had some new legislators attend, and it allowed us to open the door to some new conversations that that really, I think, will prove to be valuable as the session moves forward. And I think that it also allowed us to communicate. I used buzzwords when I was talking to our elected folks, just to listen for when they start hearing things that are being mentioned in the legislative process, and to reach back out to folks at the college with any questions that they might have or how that might impact the college. And so, again, I think that was a great way to start off the legislative year and conclude this year. Budget development continues through the legislative process. Of course, the governor is still assembling her budget recommendations as well. Again, that will be a very interesting process that we'll be participating in when the legislature comes to Topeka in January. One of the good things, I think, that, and this is sort of a lead into the next thing I'd like to talk about, is that the government affairs folks that represent higher education met for a retreat this week. Usually that retreat occurs in August, but this year things unfolded in December, and it allowed us to have some conversations around a unified message. And one of the good things I think that I heard and that came out of that conversation was that across the higher education sector, one of the things that we'll be talking about is funding the base, fully funding Senate Bill 155, and fully funding the tiered and non-tiered formula. And that is good as far as advocating on behalf of higher education. Now, there will be some other things that different sectors in the system that makes up higher ed will be advocating for as well, but that will be a common thread that we will have, and a good one moving forward, considering the budgeting process that's about to unfold. The other thing that occurred at that retreat was we had the opportunity to hear from legislative leadership about what they see, sort of the blueprint, and it would be the House GOP blueprint and what that looks like. And this will be the second biennial cycle that a blueprint has been released by leadership. But it gives us a perspective and a view as to what to expect for the coming legislative session. And oddly enough, it matches up with many of the items that we've been talking about that will probably play out during the session. And so let me just go over those real quick. There are five of them. The first one is under the category of people, and that will be where things like taxes, education, items that people deal with on a daily basis, some of the high profile items are covered. Now, I'm not going to go into any specifics, and the specifics weren't exactly released to us, although we probably have some idea of what some of that might look like. And I'll talk about that here in just a minute. The economy, so this is the second category, the economy, which includes economic development and tourism. There will be a test here in a minute. Natural resources is the third category, and that involves water resources, ag, and mineral rights. Public safety is standalone in its own category. And then the final one is government efficiency. And I think that you can anticipate that we'll be seeing something similar to the same type of, I think it's called DOGE at the federal level, that will be unfolding here, the Department of Government Efficiency. And while we won't necessarily have a department, we may see a committee introduced that starts looking at things like government efficiency, and that will cover a broad range of topics. And so that sort of informs people who do what I do, what the big ticket items might look like during that legislative conversation next year. We know that property tax is going to be first and foremost at the top of that discussion. What that exactly looks like still remains yet to be seen. There are a few ways that you can reduce property taxes at the state level outside of just flat out not allowing budget increases, and whether that's through a statutory change or at the local level, that is, whether that's through a statutory change or whether that's through a constitutional amendment that might cap budgeting authority, that remains to be seen. We have picked up a little bit of intelligence that maybe a target goal would be 3 mills to reduce at the state level. That's easily done by one item that's pretty low-hanging fruit, and it's called the Educational Building Fund. So on your property tax statements, there are 21.5 mills that the state collects and redistributes. 20 of those mills are for K-12 education. The other 1.5, the one goes to the what is called the Educational Building Fund, and that is for remediation or deferred maintenance of buildings at state universities. It's been a mill that's been on the books for years. I don't remember what it last produced, but 60 or 70 million perhaps statewide. It's not a large number, but when you start reducing at the state level, that is one way to chip away at that. Now, I think we'll still have conversations on other levels with regard to whether it's capping valuations, putting property tax freezes in, but I do have a feeling that while the conversation might appear bold and out there and will capture headlines, I do think that there is an effort to moderate what those reductions look like. The governor's announced that she's not interested in property tax reductions this year. House and Senate leadership are making that one of their priorities. So we'll see how that plays out. I've talked a little bit about the regulatory sandbox, and this is something that's also going on in other states. There is model legislation that comes out of Utah that seeks to combine, eliminate, lower some of the regulatory obligations that businesses see. I think it remains yet to be seen just exactly what that looks like. You can probably put this in the category of government efficiency. We'll see a lot of talk about reducing the regulatory burden for businesses in Kansas. There's going to be some economic development accountability, quite appropriate, but I think we'll be talking about that in terms of what, and while we may not talk a lot about that in college business, it's important to other forms of government across the state, and as far as attracting businesses, keeping businesses, attracting employees or recruiting employees, all of those levels of different levels of economic development are going to be important. Apex is a big one. It's the one that brought Panasonic to just down the road here. And so I think we'll be looking at what that looks like also in the terms of accountability and government efficiency. Educational funding. Don't know if the votes are there, but I think we're going to have a lot of conversation about vouchers. That's not an uncommon topic that we talk about at the legislative level. I think our focus in the higher education realm will be to focus on funding that base and keeping the funding streams whole for what funds higher ed. And then finally, technology security is going to be a big topic that's talked about. We continue to see efforts afoot in other areas of whether it's government or private business or where the two cross with regard to technology security, we're going to continue to see efforts at the state level to either fund and or have conversations about how entities can be a little bit more secure in what their operation. It's an evolving conversation because the criminals, the people who are trying to hack in, keep changing their efforts. So I think that kind of gives you a sense of what some of the high profile topics that we'll be talking about. There'll be a lot of what we call rats and cats, just things that some might grab headlines, but issues that that we'll be talking about throughout the legislative session that keeps things ongoing. So the House has named chairs and committee assignments. We're still awaiting that from the Senate as well as the minority parties. I think we'll see that next week. Right now, the Senate president and the House minority leader are on a trade mission in Japan with the lieutenant governor, as well as the speaker. The speaker has already made his assignments, but I think that we'll be seeing those come out next week. That really starts to give us a sense of what the committee conversations are going to look like. So we're a little bit in the dark with regard to how things are going to play out in the Senate, at least right now. And then January 13th is when everyone comes to Topeka for the big party. They're saying this year that it will be a hard and fast 90 days. Typically, the legislature takes what is called a pro forma Friday. They clock in at the beginning of the day, but no formal work takes place. We're being told, and we're picking up bits and pieces, that the legislature will be working Monday through Friday, and committees throughout the day on all of those days, with an adjournment on April 12th. And when I say adjournment, I'm not talking about a first adjournment when they come back for a veto session. What we're being told is that the calendar will end on April 12th, sine die, which means the formal closure of the legislative session. That's interesting because that means you'll have passed a budget and sent that budget to the governor before the consensus revenue estimating group meets in the middle of April. And that's when we learn a lot about caseloads and some unplanned expenditures that usually pop up. So again, it's a bold and aggressive schedule. We'll see if that holds true, but that's what the roadmap looks like right now. Madam Chair, I would stop there and answer most questions.
Thanks, Dick, and I'll open it up to my colleagues. But what is the? Do you have a sense of what the thought process is in that timeline?
Yeah.
Is there some desire for everybody to just get back to their lives faster, or what's the process? The thought process.
You know, one of the age-long issues that we deal with in Topeka is the more you're around, the more idle time that you have, the more shenanigans that can mm-hmm. play out. And I do think that that's part of it. And that's the management of 125 in the House and 40 in the Senate. Let's do the work. Let's get home. And I think that they're under a little bit of scrutiny as well. They passed some pay raises that actually make those positions a little bit more legitimate. And it is a volunteer legislature, but it's hard to find people to serve because the pay literally is minimal. And so annualized, I can't tell you exactly what those salaries look like, but they're more realistic. And so I think that there's an effort afoot to let's get to town, let's do our work, and let's go home.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so any questions or comments for Mr. Carter? Trustee Cross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Carter, who set the schedule? Who set this agenda? Who's they?
Legislative leadership meets together. The House and Senate meets together and determines what the broad scope looks like as far as the calendar is concerned. And so it's a session calendar. It's fluid like most anything.
The other half a mil, I missed it.
I didn't say it because I can't remember it right off the top of my head.
I don't mean to call you on it.
That's one of those questions when I said mostly, I'll answer it. That one's not getting an answer. But I'll find out and let you know.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there longer Monday. I had some other commitments. But thank you to everyone that invited the legislators on both sides of the aisle and all across the spectrum.
It was a good meeting.
I think in my 11 years, really the whole delegation in Johnson County takes great pride in being here. And I think even Senator Roger Marshall came last year or the year before Blake Flanders, has he ever been here?
I mean, on campus?
Yes.
Or I think on campus, but I'm not sure
he's
when.
He's coming next month.
We have invited him to come next month, yes.
Good. So, I mean, we thank everybody in Topeka, and particularly you, for briefing us on what goes on, but how will they make up the money if they reduce mill rates?
So that's part of the larger conversation. I don't know if there will be a backfill. If it's at the state level, the state can absorb it through the state general fund. The local ad valorem tax refund program was written off the books last year after not being funded for more than 20 years. If they wanted to come up with some type of agreement where they're backfilling local units of government for property tax reduction, that could be an option. We also have about a $1.84 billion ending balance right now, and so in reserves, that is. And so there are dollars there that people are going to be vying for. You've probably read in the papers that the Department of Corrections needs a new prison in Hutch, that the Kansas Bureau of Investigation needs a new headquarters because their current one is right in the middle of the most drug-infested part of the city of Topeka. And so there's, again, that's combined, there's about $700 million right there. And so there will be efforts to chip away at that base. And so to answer your question, there's money at the state level right now if there is the power to convince the need for backfilling anything done to locals. We got to wait and see what the proposals look like first before we approach that.
I thank you for that, and I'll let the obvious jokes regarding the KBI headquarters hit the catcher's mitt.
If you're at 17th and Topeka, you pass it every time. It's a beautiful building.
But I'm just going to say, and this is not directed at you, like last I looked, the results of these elections were pretty close. I mean, at the top, with Vice President Harris and the president, and then even in Johnson County here especially, where one party was hoping to win more seats than they did, the races were pretty close. I don't think there's any clear mandate here. And I think a lot of the people that, in rural Kansas or even the impoverished people we have here, I mean, they need more help, not less. So I don't know how reducing money, I mean, I'm all for tax relief, but I just think that Kansas does a lot of good things and we should keep doing that, like educating people. So thank you for the information, and I'll be quiet, Madam Chair. So,
thank you. Any other questions or comments for Mr. Carter? I would just comment briefly. Trustee Mitchell and I had the opportunity to attend Monday's legislative luncheon, which was very well attended by our local legislators. And it struck me both during and after the meeting that it's my sense that there's still sort of a general lack of understanding among the population, including our legislators, about our mission and what it is that we really do here. The unique nature of the students that we serve, our role as an economic engine, and the importance of that. And I think the more that we, as trustees of the college, can be ambassadors for that message, the better. Some of the questions that were coming up, and by the way, I thought it was a very productive meeting, lots of dialogue, but gave me the impression that there really are folks who just don't really know what we do, that still see us as a junior college or a mini college, if you will. And I think, part of our mission really is to develop that understanding, because that's how we get folks to participate in funding what it is we want to do and helping us with the things that we want to achieve. And thank you for being there, Dick, and for helping us put that together. I thought it was a very productive meeting. So with that, thank you. Happy travels back to Topeka. Be careful at 17th and Topeka. Okay. Next up is the Faculty Association report and Ms. Andrea View.
College Council.
Did I miss somebody?
Yeah. College Council.
Oh,
Jason.
You know, it's not my day. And Jason, you're like on your way. Sorry. Andrea, never mind. Jason Arnett from College Council for your report.
I didn't have much anyway. So
that seems to be a common theme tonight. So
end of the year, short, anyway. Pretty much We met a week ago in College Council. We got reports from everybody, and pretty much we're still just talking about communication, is how it all is. We've presented our College Council report on communication to all the stakeholders that we can find. every time we did our presentation, we said, are there any questions? And there was crickets. So we feel like we've communicated the communication report pretty effectively. We are going to present it during PLD week, and we've got two sessions, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday during PLD week. So hopefully we'll get some good interaction and questions during that period. And that's really the update I have from College Council, other than to say it's been a pretty good year for us in terms of shared governance this year. We have much better and clearer communication between College Council, Staff Council, ABC, Student Senate, Cabinet even, so we're doing better with that. We did simplify the definition so that more people can have access to understanding what shared governance is here and what it means at the college. And anecdotally, that's increased the engagement. I've gotten more emails about shared governance this year than I have in the past. And we're pretty confident that our report on communication could have a major impact in how people view just how they talk to each other and what we do. So I'm going to pat us on the back and say, hey, I think we did a good job this year. And so and that's really all I have for you today. So.
Thank you for that, Jason. Any questions or comments? Trustee Smith Everett.
I'm going to try to do this without coughing, so I apologize if I get a coughing fit. This has nothing to do with College Council, so I just want to say at the legislative luncheon, the tomato bisque that was served had a legislator lean over to me and say, my God, this is the most delicious thing I've ever tasted. So kudos to you and the team. If you are any part of that, if you want to pass the recipe on, some of us might like to entertain bisque, right? Replicating it. Yes, it was divine. And to get a compliment like that just shows the caliber of what we want to show people when they come here. And so I'm so grateful because as a daughter of a chef, food is my love language as well. Yeah. And when people enjoy food, it helps them enjoy what they're doing here on campus too. So thank you and your team so much for that.
Appreciate that. I will make sure the chefs know about that.
Yeah. Jason, our group didn't get tomato bisque. We didn't have tomato bisque. I feel left out.
We don't plan the menus. We just serve them, so.
There were a lot of extras at ours.
Trustee Cross.
Turned down the salad with the chicken breast, which is a Judy Korb staple. Which is good. But the taco bar was great, just to piggyback on Trustee Smith.
We've heard that, yes, thank you.
Meeting, so thank you. The guacamole is wonderful.
I appreciate it.
Just wanted to echo.
Now I really feel left out.
No. You were invited to it.
So thank you for your comments, as always. Yeah. It's always good to hear. Anytime we're hearing from you and other stakeholders that we think communication is improving, communication is good, shared governance is improving, that's always stuff that we enjoy hearing. So kudos to you and everyone else who played a role in that over the past year. I would agree that it seems like you guys have accomplished some good things. So congratulations
to
you.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you for that.
Thank you all.
Taco bar, huh?
Taco bar every day. Let's just do that.
Yeah, I'm all over that.
Andrew, talking food. Come on,
Association. Come on down.
Thank you for the taco bar.
Yes, and it was catered through JCC Catering. So, hello, my name is Andrea View, and I'm the president of the JCCC Faculty Association. I wanted to start tonight with some general comments about mental health, a topic that we had discussed at Collegial Steering a couple meetings ago. And I think I've spoken here about student mental health before and the resources that we have here at JCCC. So I want to thank the counselors and the Mental Health Outreach Committee and the Johnson County Mental Health Center and their staff for the on-site support for our students here. They do so much work for the students, and we are really grateful for that, particularly at this time of year when the students are freaking out. So at the Collegial Steering meeting, we also discussed the mental health situation among employees. So when I'm walking around campus saying hello and talking to people, you know, it's often that thing of like, how are you doing? And I frequently encounter people who are feeling worse than they did prior semesters. So it's going to sound really cynical, but like the running joke is, how are you doing? And the answer is always like worse than last year, which, you know, no one necessarily understands why our mental health is worse than prior years. Like, we all lived through COVID and dealt with that situation, but there seems to be some issue we're all facing post-COVID in terms of trying to rebound from the pandemic. And I know Trustee Smith Everett was there and also noted that, you know, it's not just an employee here thing, it's an employee everywhere thing, right? It's probably just more of a societal concern. One of the things that has been suggested to me from other employees is for us to follow a system similar to what we've created for students, specifically having an on-site mental, like a therapist or mental health resources for employees. So I don't even know if that's doable or not, but that's just something that's come to me and I'm sharing it with you because I'm standing at the podium today. So there you go. So of course, since we're at the end of the semester and navigating finals, we're all stressed and that certainly adds to it. And facing challenges in shared governance adds to that stress. I do want to make a point here because Jason was talking about College Council and he and Barry Bailey have been going around to different committees around campus sharing that communications report. ABC really did appreciate that conversation because they really exemplified like what it means to do shared governance here. In the sense that they sent us the report to read, they put it up on the screen and had like talked to us about it. And I also wanted to give a shout out to John Clayton. Surprise, John, like you were not expecting that. But he did something similar last spring with that committees, councils, and task forces report. So I just wanted to make the point that there are some, like you're saying, Trustee Rail, there are some very good examples of shared governance going on around here. And I would say those two are the primary ones that stand out to me right now. Personally, going back to mental health, I actually look forward to winter break. I could not come soon enough so that I can just shut out the world and sit quietly and read and catch up on shows and just relax, basically looking at the wall with my, you know, hanging out with my cats. So fingers crossed that I can at least have one winter break where I do not get sick. So we're hoping for that. That kind of reminded me of something that you had brought up related to students and, you know, the service that community colleges do and thinking about post-COVID students. And we see, you know, a range of different students. And one of the things that I have noticed recently, because I do scheduling and whatnot, we're seeing kind of a fewer enrollments in our night classes. And the idea there is people that would normally, you know, they're kind of mid-career that take night classes because they're working and they want to get further their education. Instead of doing night classes, they're doing online classes. Mm-hmm. But here's the challenge. A lot of those individuals have never taken an online class before. So it's, again, thinking about the student populations that we're serving, it's trying to adapt the way that we're teaching so that we can help people who have never taken an online class know how to like time management or navigate things or whatever. And I would say like this is one of the things that faculty think about when they're doing their online courses. And certainly it's, you know, there's other things we're thinking about in terms of the post-COVID generation, but in terms of like study skills, time management, these are some of the big things that we see in our classes right now. And so I also want to say congratulations to the folks that are finding out today that they received a Distinguished Service Award. We have a really engaged and hardworking faculty, so it's nice for them to be recognized for that work, and we really do appreciate that. As a friendly reminder, I will just say the Distinguished Service Award, or DSA, is awarded to about 10 faculty each year. And then the people, in addition to being recognized through that award, they receive they also receive two $2,500 stipends, one this year and one next year. Like, hope that came out correctly. And so the other thing I do want to thank is the Faculty Association officers who kind of like held it down at the Faculty Association luncheon last Monday. I was in a different meeting, so I was really not able to participate in the lunch. And it was, again, it was the taco bar, which is everyone, the queso here is also very good. If you have not had it, I will just shout out that. It was catered through JCC Catering. It was nice to see all the faculty that came together in the CAP Fed to have, you know, good food and conversation. And I know that some of you were also able to pop by on your way to and from the legislative luncheon. And I know faculty always appreciate when trustees show up to things. We really like seeing your faces, so thank you for that. Altogether, we estimated probably about 70 or 80 faculty attended. I don't know because I was not there very often, but so that was just a really nice event to sort of like close out the semester for us, and I think we'll probably continue doing that in the future. One last highlight of that FA event, and then also like generally what we've been doing over the last few years with the FA when we have events. We actually collected about 8 bags/boxes of donated items for the Student Basic Needs Center. And then we also collected about $300 in donations that we send. We send Amanda Glass to Aldi's to get more donations. So one of the big things I cannot say enough about the Student Basic Needs Center and the support that they're showing for our students in terms of food insecurity. And you know, I think Robbie Miller is still managing that space. And so I do want to shout out to anybody watching, like the Student Basic Needs Center is accepting cash. You can go on the foundation's website. They are accepting donations for that. You can drop off donations. Really want to encourage folks to think about that at this time of year. So, and the last thing, I put little notes all over this and I can't read my handwriting. Thank you for the sabbatical. I did actually say that you had last month, you awarded sabbaticals and I was one of the people, so thanks. Because I really could use that right about now. So that's about it for me today.
Thank you for that, Andrea. Any questions or comments for Andrea? Trustee Cross and then Trustee Smith Everett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, President View, for your comments about shared governance. And I'd like to lay it all at the feet of the philosopher king known as Judy Corb, but she'll call me, and I assume she asks all of us, like, are you hearing anything? Is there anything going on out there? And I'm like, no, I don't hear anything. So I'm glad to hear you say that. And then thanks for the taco bar.
Very good.
Really loved it.
Rub it in. Trustee Smith Everett.
Thank you, Professor View, for your report, and more importantly, for reporting on what we did in collegial steering, because last month I was put on the spot and immediately blanked out on anything I knew or could remember, even though I remember that being a really engaging meeting that was not on our agenda but turned into a really good conversation. And I think we are at a place, at least regionally, because that's all I can speak to, that I think there is a lot of burnout and recognition that people have not taken the full assessment of post-COVID, and it's hard. And there's a lot of people kind of working their way through that consciously or subconsciously. And when we have students that are struggling, that affects anyone here that interfaces with students. So recognition of that, and hopefully moving forward, we can think about all parties in mental health. I think starting with students is a really good start for us, but we certainly could have a ways to go and can always improve to make sure everybody's taken care of. So thanks for that reminder, because it was a great conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else? I just wanted to comment briefly. You make a very valid observation that mental health issues are permeating every workplace, not just this workplace. If I had an explanation for that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be like solving the issue somewhere really important. But at the risk of sounding like a baby boomer, which I am, I think there's a correlation between mental health issues and the number of people who are choosing to take online classes as opposed to coming to class in person. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, but I think in the post-COVID era, it has become so easy to cloister ourselves within our own four walls, and it exacerbates any mental health issues that may otherwise be arising or already there. I think it's important for all of us to encourage people to get out, communicate, interact, and ask for help when help is needed. And we can all do that, I think, as good humans, regardless of where we are or where we happen to work or where we happen to be. So thank you for illustrating that. And thank you, as always, for your comments. Happy holidays.
Thank you. And yes, happy holidays.
Happy reading.
Okay, next up, and so now I'm going to make cross marks here so I don't mess up the ordering again. I learn quickly. Next up is the JCERT report and Trustee Smith Everett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. JCERT received $1.9 million in sales tax in November, and distribution of $644,000 was distributed to each of the three university entities for a total of $7.7 million distributed year to date. November 2024 sales tax receipts were down significantly from October, and I just wanted to note that in my report, as it was noted to us on the JCERT board. And the sales tax receipts were also down significantly from November a year ago. With that said, generally the JCERT distribution has come out relatively flat year to year, fiscal year, but with it being significantly down from October, I just thought that this board should know that, and that concludes my report.
Thank you for that. Any questions for Trustee Smith Everett? Thank you, as always, for carrying that oar for us. Mm-hmm. Next up is the KACC report and Trustee Cross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The KACC met December 6th and 7th at Labette Community College with 17 of 19 colleges present, two were absent and had college businesses, which prevented their attendance. I know President Korb was there, as I could not attend, so thank you for attending for us. The group heard issues with property and casualty insurance and discussed ways to combat rising costs. David Boehm, Senior Vice President of Government Relations of the American Association of Community Colleges, presented on the new federal landscape and how it will impact higher education during the new Congress and presidential term. An update was provided regarding issues of concern to community colleges that are being pushed by KBOR, including 15 free credit hours for high school students and developmental education changes. KACC heard from the Southeast Kansas delegation of legislators about the upcoming Kansas legislative session. That was Saturday morning, right? Thank you, Tony. KACC voted unanimously to adopt the legislative agenda, which I have a copy of, should any of you want to see it. As presented with amendments, the strongest underlying themes are that KACC is strongly opposed to any unfunded mandates and supports local control of community colleges in the strongest terms. KACC voted on officers for the next year. It'll be Arlen Liker, president from Colby Community College, Don Ash, Vice President from KCKCC, Eric Scott Kilo, Secretary from Pratt Community College, David Marshall, Treasurer from Hutch Community College, where my wife went to, which doesn't matter because she never watches these things. Mike Johnson is the past president from Barton Community College. A discussion was held about the importance of memorial and AI policies on campus. And trustees and presidents reviewed recent news reports about trends across higher education that face Kansas community colleges and discussed implications in Kansas. Upcoming meetings, January 16th, we'll have donuts with legislators at the Topeka Capitol from 7 to 9 a.m. Then Friday, April 11th, a 2025 PTK recognition event returns to Topeka at the City Center. Hotel Topeka at City Center. And then May 30th and 31st, we'll have our quarterly meeting at Highland Community College up in Atchison, Kansas. That's a part of Kansas where it looks like somebody took a bite out of it. Future meetings also include August 25th, which will be held at Garden City. And then December of 2025, we'll be in Cowley County Community College down in southern Kansas. April 2026 PTK event will be in Topeka. And the May 2026 meeting will be held at Allen Community College. And I just wanted to thank Heather Morgan, our executive director at KACC for putting this together for me. And then I had two other points to make, Madam Chair. I believe it was at a KCC meeting in August at KCK. We talked about AI. Mm-hmm. And I forget which college simply just bought AI access for all of its students. Mm-hmm. And I had been meaning to brief this board and now the community on this issue. And I thought it was an interesting topic to discuss, or at least throw out there and make you aware of, because the school did that so that they could track who was using what and where, and that if they were going to have anything synthesized or produced from AI, that they, the professor or teachers could know, and we could use it as a proper tool. And is it there to catch people? Yes, but I think it should be something we embrace and utilize, and that's my opinion, and I just wanted to offer that point to you. I have so much to say about KBOR, but I suppose I just thank them for their service and leadership in the state. Although I don't know that I understand nor agree with their agenda regarding 15 free credit hours for high school students and other changes that they want to make, I think that's an issue that we and other trustees at community colleges should pay attention to. As we're engaged in the polite civil war known as the Kansas State budget among higher ed entities. So I really be quiet. I know Trustee Ingram always took a long time and Trustee Cook before her, but some of these issues are just so important. I know you all understand it, so I don't mean to take longer than necessary, but I just wanted to touch on all those. And I'll either take questions and or conclude my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Cross. Any questions or comments? I would just sort of echo what you just said. I'll leave AI alone because I think we're going to agree to disagree on that point. But with respect to KBOR, like, what's that?
I like arguing with you.
Yeah, well.
You did better in school, though.
With respect to KBOR, you're exactly right. We need to be paying close attention to both of the issues that you mentioned, the free 15 and the DevEd versus co-rec debate as it affects what we're allowed to provide to our students, and then for the free 15, so gosh, we know nothing's free, right? Somebody's paying for that. So that's the devil's in the details. You know, how is that going to be paid for, and how does that affect us and other community colleges and institutions of higher education? So we need to all pay attention to how that evolves and how that debate sort of goes on. And with that, thank you for your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all.
Next up is the foundation report, and Trustee Hamill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Cohen Community Series is thrilled to host Lee Bryce as Performer of the Year. Tickets are currently on sale and will sell out. There is a special VIP experience prior to the concert. Tickets can be purchased for $270, which also includes a reception before the event. The concert will be held on March 1st, and the foundation is still currently looking for some more sponsors for the event. A reminder, the JCCC Foundation will partner with the Newman Museum, the Nerman Museum, and the JCC Fashion Design and Merchandising Department for a unique fundraiser on May 10th, a match made in heaven. Catherine Bernhardt and Jeremy Scott is a match made in heaven, brings together contemporary artists, Catherine Bernhardt and American fashion designer Jeremy Scott, right here from Kansas City. They are two elite artists who will transform the mundane into the spectacular. This fundraising event will transport participants into a vibrant world of pop culture through food, fashion, and art. This event starts the Nerman Museum, an event sponsorship. The VIP guests that can also attend an off-site after party. Proceeds will support the Nerman Museum operations and art education activities, and the JCCC Historical Fashion Collection Preservation. So make sure you save the date. This is gonna be a really big event. I've heard some more things that may be coming. This is definitely not something you wanna miss. Save the date for the third annual Sips and Scholarship event on June 26th at the Wiley Hospitality and Culinary Academy. More information to come. And the JCC Foundation is launching a payroll donation campaign to encourage staff and faculty to support the Student Basics Needs Center that we were talking about earlier. through donations made through their payroll. The foundation ambassadors are being recruited at the department level to help support the efforts to engage and involve employees across the campus. Currently, only 6% of staff participates in this effort. We really want to get this up to about 25% for the end of the year. Funds raised in 2024 will also be used to support the Student Basic Needs Center. That concludes my report.
Thank you for that. Any questions or comments for Trustee Hamel? Trustee Rattan.
I just want to thank the foundation for not having the SIPs and scholarships on the same meeting as our board meeting, because we were really sad that we had to dip in and dip out. Mm-hmm. And then just for a future thing, I asked Dr. Korb about it, and I think foundation helps out. I was asking about students who have small outstanding balances. Is there a way that we help them? And someone had said that they're either forgiven or they get some help from foundation. So that was just a question I had that maybe we can put on a future agenda.
Sounds great.
All right. Trustee Smith-Everett.
I just want to say I'm shocked that some enchanted evening was not mentioned in your foundation report. I can't believe we've gone a month without some kind of update about it.
It was amazing. It was great. Yeah.
We did it last month, didn't we?
I know, but usually then the plan for the next one is...
There's only one month a year where we don't talk about it. Right?
I will say we had a meeting last night talking about the foundation and how the event went. We had some really great feedback and some information to try to make it even better next year. This was one of the best ones I think we've done in a while, and so we're hoping to even build on that some more. So, and we raised well over $1 million, which was one of our best we've ever done. So the best we've ever done for this event.
All right. That concludes your report?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Hamel. That takes us to committee reports and recommendations. First up is the Collegial Steering Committee report. The Collegial Steering Committee met on Thursday, December 5th. There were several people who were unable to attend because of personal illness, so it was a bit of a thin group, if you will, but undaunted, we had a relatively robust conversation focusing on online course shells and the sort of criteria for looking at those shells, specifically related to something called regular substantial interaction, which, as I understand it, has to do with the ability of faculty and students to interact in an online forum in a way that provides an academic experience that can be compatible with what they would get in the classroom. And so we had a pretty lengthy discussion about that. I thought it was a productive discussion, and I'm sure it'll be a continuing dialogue. And that concludes my report, unless anyone has any questions. Hearing none, next up is the Employee Engagement and Development Committee report and Trustee Cross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this used to be the Human Resources Committee report, I'm told. The Employee Engagement and Development Committee met on Wednesday, December 4, 2024 at 10:45 a.m. Christina McGee, Vice President of Human Resources, shared updates from the Office of Human Resources. She reported that the Director of Human Resources position has been filled and the new employee will begin in January. Christina also shared that HR continues to work on finalizing her department's mission, vision, and goals and will have them completed by the end of the year. The HR team held an internal fundraiser and competition to raise money for the JCCC Student Basic Needs Center. Christina also reported that many food and hygiene items, along with cash donations, were raised for students in need at the college. Christina also brought to the committee several HR personnel policies that were due for review and updating. They were the criminal background check policy number 413.03, the employee recruitment and selection policy number 414.01, the new hire requirements policy 415.01, and the probationary period policy number 415.06, along with the nepotism policy number 423.01. Christina went through the policy changes and opened it up for discussion. And regarding the history and background checks policy number 413.03, we on the committee recommended adding the words any and or all. That was me. But at any rate, the beginning of the sentence in the third paragraph under the statement versus beginning the sentence with the word all. And then Kelsey Nazar and I discussed that, and it was awesome. The committee also recommended a modification to the employee recruitment and selection policy number 414.01 to add back in the language contained in paragraph one of the statement that states to promote open and fair competition for the selection of the most qualified individuals to fill vacant positions. The word processes, which preceded the language, was stricken in order to make the sentence flow. You're briefed. It is the recommendation of the Employment Engagement and Development Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve modification to and renaming of the criminal background check policy number 413.03 as shown subsequently in the board packet. And I so move.
Second. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Cross, seconded by Trustee Jennings. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. You may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is the recommendation of the Employee Engagement and Development Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve modification to the Employee Recruitment and Selection Policy Number 414.01 as subsequently shown in the board packet, and I so move.
Second.
I have a motion by Trustee Cross, seconded by Trustee Mitchell. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. You may continue.
Next, Madam Chair, it's the recommendation of the Employee Engagement and Development Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve modification to the new hire requirements policy number 415.01 as shown subsequently in the board packet. And I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Cross, seconded by Trustee Smith Everett. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. You may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's the recommendation of the Employee Engagement and Development Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve modification to the probationary period policy number 415.06 as shown subsequently in the board packet. And I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Cross, seconded by Trustee Hamill. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Finally, Madam Chair, it is the recommendation of the Employee Engagement and Development Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve modification to the nepotism policy number 423.01 as shown subsequently in the board packet. And I so move.
Motion made by Trustee Cross. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Jennings. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
I would like to add, Madam Chair, that I'll make a motion that we bottle, jar, and sell the tomato bisque soup as a revenue generator.
We'll have That's to take that business. Up under new business.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my report.
I would just comment that only lawyers could find some sort of enjoyment in discussing whether it should say all or any and or all.
It's critical, and I've had discovery motions on it. I didn't know what you meant by all. Like, if I had one more Central Missourian say that to me.
Right? Hey, I get it.
All.
All right. Thank you for your report, Trustee Cross. Moving on to the Management and Finance Committee report, and Trustee Mitchell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Management and Finance Committee held their meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, December 4th, 2024, in this room. The information related to the meeting can be found on pages 14 through 25 of the board packets. Sandra Warner, Executive Director of Mission Continuity and Risk Management, provided the semi-annual report on mission continuity and strategic risk management activities. She also shared the annual insurance renewal summary and history, an update on the workers' compensation program, and a review of the annual risk assessment survey and response planning. Rachel Lears, Executive Vice President for Finance and Administrative Services, presented an agreement with Johnson County Library. Details can be found on page 41 in the consent agenda portion of this meeting. Tom Hall, Associate VP of Campus Services and Facility Planning, provided the committee with information on facilities projects from capital acquisitions and improvements matrix. The Management and Finance Committee has the following recommendations to present this evening. Guide budget development. Megan Casey, Interim Vice President, CFO, presented the recommendation to approve the preliminary budget guidelines to be used by the administration to begin the fiscal 2025-26 budget development process. These guidelines are subject to adjustment as updated information is received over the coming months, such as changes to in estimated assessed valuation or state funding. The final 2025-26 management budget will be presented to the Board of Trustees for approval on May 2025. So therefore, it is the recommendation of the Management and Finance Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve the preliminary guidelines for development of the college's FY 2025-26 budget, and I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Mitchell, seconded by Trustee Cross. Any discussion? Trustee Smith Everett.
Just a comment that this comes up every month, and I appreciate it. The budget.
As it should.
As it should.
I was just going to comment, we're right on schedule, right where we should be. This is what we need to be doing at tonight's meeting, so good to know that everything's staying on track as it should. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. You may continue.
So motions related to review and update policies. Rachel Lears, Executive Vice President for Administrative Services, reviewed the recommended changes to the disposition of surplus property policy 215.07 and deleting the recycling policy 217.02. These policies were reviewed as part of a scheduled review of college policies. Therefore, it is the recommendation of the Management and Finance Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve modification to the disposition of surplus property policy 215.07 as shown subsequently in the board packet. And I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Mitchell, seconded by Trustee Cross. Any discussion? Trustee Smith Everett.
Actually, I have a legitimate question this time. I was curious what it meant by informal bidding. Because I know we've typically gone through the public auction sites, the government gov deals or gov something. I didn't know what it meant on page 20 when point number two was advertise public sale, negotiate price, or informal bidding. Like, are we doing Craigslist now or?
No, they removed the reference to sealed bid and just changed it to informal bidding. It's for low dollar items.
Okay.
That we just do via. Did you reference gov deals?
Yeah.
We reference through those types.
Okay,
of sites.
So it's not that we're
it's
now
not a formal part of a procurement type or a okay. notification process.
I was like, are we now just like low, letting people yeah. Facebook Marketplace and come pick
no.
it up off campus? Or okay, thank you.
All right, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Okay, the next recommendation relates to the recycling policy 217.02. It is the recommendation of the Management and Finance Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve deletion of the recycling policy 217.02 as shown subsequently in the board packet, and I so move.
Motion made by Trustee Mitchell. Do I have a second? I'll second. Any discussion? It's my understanding that this policy, Trustee Mitchell, is not needed because the provisions in the policy are contained elsewhere in other policies. I just want to make that clear that we're not like eliminating recycling, right?
I'm glad you brought that up. We talked about that briefly at the committee meeting as well. That is absolutely correct.
Okay. Good to know. Any further discussion?
I'll say I think this was actually about the creation of one as well. So now it's been created and held somewhere else.
Right. It's just to be clear, it's recycling is referenced in our sustainability policy, which was newly created in 2022, which I think you're referencing, as well as in our disposition of surplus property policy and operating procedure. So having this was an older one. It was, you know, I think it was established back in 1999. So it's duplicated now in other places.
If I might add, it was relatively quaint. It said, we'll recycle aluminum cans and paper products.
Quaint is nicer, nice way to put it, yeah.
Well, you know, 1999, that was a long time ago, right?
It's the height of recycling.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 6-1. You may continue.
Procurement reports and recommendations. Jim Feichert, Executive Director of Procurement Services, reviewed one bid recommendation. HVAC improvements for CLB LIB buildings. It is the recommendation of the Management Finance Committee that the Board of Trustees accept the recommendation of the College Administration to approve the bids from SGI in the amount of $599,005 with an additional 10% contingency of $59,901 to allow for possible unforeseen costs. From Stanger Industries in the amount of $78,516 with an additional 10% contingency of $7,852 to allow for potential unforeseen costs for a total amount of $745,273. I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Mitchell, seconded by Trustee Cross. Any discussion? I just have a quick question. Is this a scheduled replacement, or is this something broken we have to replace it?
These are scheduled replacements. These are part of our preventative maintenance program. Okay. The library air handling unit, as I understand it, was original to the building, 1972. Oh. So it was.
Oh, now that was a long time.
This time, yeah, but you know, we weren't experiencing issues with it. It's just time. This has been identified for replacement. And then on the VAV boxes as well, those were past their 20-year life, and so we are replacing those as well.
All right, excellent. Thanks for that explanation. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Mitchell, for running through all of that. Next up is Student Success Committee report and Trustee Rattan.
All right. We met on December the 4th in this room, and we talked about accreditation process and timelines with John Clayton. He provided an overview of the accreditation process, including aspects beyond the quality of academic offerings. Those aspects include governance/administration, adherence to the mission, sustainability of finances, sufficiency of resources, federal financial aid, and credit transferability. He also explained the accreditation process and how institutions prepare, which means it's like a 10-year process. JCCC is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission, also known as HLC, and is on the open pathway, which includes an assurance review in year 4, quality initiative project between years 5 and 9, and a comprehensive evaluation in year 10. A new aspect of the accreditation process for September 2025 includes asking institutions to show how mission pervades their entire assurance response. JCCC's comprehensive evaluation will be during the 27-28 academic year. Barry Bailey presented new courses, course modifications, course deactivations, program modifications, and program deactivation, a cultural diversity designation, and general education designations effective for the 25-26 academic year. Sheila Maupin asked Christina Rudisil, Director of Practical Nursing, to present the new affiliation with the Lawrence Memorial Hospital. Amy Sellers presented an MOU with the Olathe School District for our affiliation agreements. And more information about curriculum and affiliation agreements can be found in our board packet.
Thank you for that. Any questions or comments for Trustee Rattan?
Thank you.
Hearing none, next up is the nominating committee report and Trustee Mitchell. And
wow.
You guys have been hard at work since you were thrown into the committee at a moment's notice last month. And so tell us what you came up with, Madam Chair.
If you look in the board packet on the page that's annotated as page 28, or it's the page 30 of 52 in the PDF, you will find a list of all the officers and committees that we are nominating to fill positions for next calendar year pursuant to our policies. I will share with you that in most cases, in terms of committee assignments, most every trustee got their first and second choice. Unfortunately, in one case, it was a trustee got their first and third choice because we can't pack X number of people onto every committee. So unfortunately, we couldn't give everybody the first and second choice, but everybody that got one of their first three choices in terms of committee assignments. And on the liaisons, it seems like nearly everybody, maybe not quite everybody, but nearly everybody wanted to be on the foundation committee. And we decided that we kind of needed to spread the wealth a little bit. In consultations with Dawn, it was kind of determined that KACC was sort of a heavy lift for one person to do, so we kind of thought it might be helpful for two people to kind of pinch hit with each other. So we've made a recommendation that Trustee Cross and Trustee Hamill collaborate on that, and the rest of the nominations can be seen, again, on page 28 of the packet. Any questions?
Let's make the motion, and then we'll have discussion. How's that?
Okay. As I have a mouthful of ice. Sorry. It is the recommendation of the nominating committee that the Board of Trustees approve the 2025 slate of officers, committee, and liaison assignments. And I so move.
Motion made by Trustee Mitchell. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Cross. Any discussion?
This is quite the Dick Cheney moment here. Dawn and Greg found their way onto the foundation. Way to head up the committee.
Highly suspicious on that one.
I did notice everybody wanted to be on it, and we ended up on it.
To my defense, I said everybody wants to be on it. Greg, I think you should be on it because you haven't had a turn on it. And he was like, you have it listed, and so if someone else wants to be on it, I'm fine with not being on it.
It won't be as fun to razz you if
you're
not. It is the fun one.
It is.
It is the fun one.
I just know I can't drive to KACC events because my driving's despicable, so we'll never sign
you're
up for that.
Moving target.
You take after your son.
My son, who's totaled four cars in a year and a half, takes after his mother.
I can't do laundry because I put red in with white.
All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. And I just want to say thank you to my colleagues for having the trust in me to continue as chair for another year. I don't take that role lightly. I promise to show up on time to future meetings. And I also want to say that I couldn't manage the tasks without Trustee Smith Everett as my right hand vice chair, and so thank you for all that you do, and I look forward to working with everybody again for the next year. So,
Madam Chair,
thank you for your hard work.
Thank you for your leadership and how you work with Trustee Smith Everett. Really appreciate it.
It's difficult.
I like the way you get up into the microphone there, and it sounds like the Wizard of Oz.
49ers and Rams start at 7:20.
Okay. Well, with that,
I do want to say thanks to Greg for his leadership on board governance and making this a smooth process.
Appreciate it.
All right. Next up is the President's recommendation for action, and first item under that agenda is the Treasurer's report and Trustee Hamill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board packet includes the Treasurer's report for the month ending October 31st, 2024. The ad valorem tax distribution of $1,386,261 was received from the county treasurer during October and was distributed. Expenditures of the primary operating funds are within the approved budgetary limits. It is the recommendation of the college administration that the Board of Trustees approve the treasurer's report for the month ended October 31st, 2024, subject to audit. And I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Hamel, seconded by Trustee Cross. Any discussion about the treasurer's report? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yes. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. You may continue.
That concludes my report.
All right. Thank you for your report. Next up is the monthly report to the board from our president, Dr. Judy Korb.
And so, continuing with a partial theme from tonight, my report is fairly short. So finals week is underway. Students, faculty, staff, everybody's kind of wrapping things up and getting things finished up before winter break. Not everyone, though, because our enrollment services team is working very hard to enroll students for spring. So not everybody is in the wrap-up stage. You'll notice in your report there, there's a final end-of-term credit enrollment report. So we ended up at 5.1% when we finished with all of our fall credit enrollment. Spring is looking very strong right now. It's up 8.4%. You know it's really early, but the trend is looking very strong. And so we have a couple of things that that we're really proud of. And one is that when we're looking at our fall enrollment and you look at the number of hours that students have withdrawn from, that number has decreased, and so that has gone down by almost 15.8% compared to fall of 2023. Mm-hmm. And so that is a metric that we watch, and so that's a very good thing. And then we're also noticing increases in retention, which were as another metric that we are that we're always measuring. So those are really good things to note. I also am thankful for the legislators that came to the legislative luncheon. It was a perfect opportunity for us to be able to share a little bit about the college and answer some questions that they had. But we know that their time is limited and valuable, and so the fact that they came and spent that time with us was great. And then I was thinking about this because I had an opportunity to think about, you know, all the things that we have accomplished this past year. And it's a little bit overwhelming to try to pick out highlights because there's a lot that has happened. But I just wanted to take a minute to thank our faculty and staff, because we have amazing faculty and staff that work here. And every day they go about doing whatever it is that they're supposed to do. And sometimes we don't take the time, I think, to stop and recognize and thank them for that. Because when you hit just the highlights, you cannot get the scope of everything that goes on. But we know that many people have very specifically focused on our students and their success. In the classroom, in student support services, and even in the operational support areas. And then we know that we work with a lot of external organizations, and I received a letter from one external organization that had held their annual meeting here at JCCC. And they took the time to write a letter to me, and they were thanking me for the hospitality that they received at JCCC. They highlighted by name 21 people that had contributed to their positive experience from start to finish, from the parking lot all the way through their event and everything that had happened. And I was just really impressed that they took the time to write the note. But what I know about that is that if you ask those staff, they would say that they were just doing their job that day, that they just did the same thing that they always do. And that's true, because they are extremely consistent and professional and impressive. And so I just want you to know that you got some great people that work here, and they do their jobs every day, and they do it in an amazing way. And that concludes my report.
Thank you for that. And you are so right. Any questions or comments for Dr. Korb. Trustee Cross.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, President Korb. Your comments remind me of Vice President Larson's farewell address to us in whenever that was, it's all run together, 2019? Mm-hmm. And her standing at the podium, and really it was a time of fairly great turmoil for our board, in a lot of ways. Just telling us that we had professional people here doing the job, particularly in the cabinet and throughout the organization at the mid-management level, and certainly with our, you know, our professors that are on the front lines teaching our students. But that it always stuck with me, and I remember when COVID broke out on or about March 12th, 2020, that her comments and statements, and I implicitly trusted Barbara Larson and Judy Korb and our entire cabinet. And, you know, I don't know where it started with Chuck Carlson and fairness to him or where, but just the attitude that we take care of people and like in a Bob Dole manner, that if somebody has a good experience, they're going to tell three people. If they have a bad one, they tell 10. But those three make it around. And that we perpetuate our customer base or our student base, and people want to come here. They want to spend money. And I guess what I'm rambling around to is I want to thank this board and the administration for the budget process we just went through, working to catch up and make sure that we took care of our people at a time of inflation and being fair to the taxpayer and to our employees. And I just think it starts at the top. And I appreciate the leadership of this board and this administration. So.
Thank you for that. Any other comments, questions? Trustee Rattan.
I just want to specifically call out Liz, Christina, and Caitlin for their support of our board. We appreciate everything that you do for us, and I know we annoy you. But thanks
what?
Again for not me, but
look in your back.
Look to your left. Look to your. But thank you very much for all the support that you give us as well.
Yes, certainly. We all echo that gratitude for sure. Any other comments or questions?
I would just say, and the personalization. I mean, you guys are just, the three of you are wonderful with personalizing what each of us needs or needs to do in a very nice manner.
Some of us are needier than others. I apologize for that.
I'm never here. Why would you say that?
You know. He who doth protest too much. Okay, thank you for that, Dr. Korb, and that's actually a nice segue into, we do have an item of new business. And I want to say this. Amazing people do amazing things under tremendous leadership. You can have the group of the most amazing people in the world, but if there is a void of leadership, they will not accomplish what they're capable of accomplishing. And it was a year or so ago that we found ourselves in need of a new leader, and we are still searching for who our next permanent leader will be. And as we were, and I'm gonna embarrass you, and that's okay. So just as we were sitting together as a board trying to figure out how we bridge that gap, it was largely a consensus. We need to figure out a way to convince Dr. Judy Korb that she needs to come be our interim president. Having known Judy for years, I knew that was going to be a heavy row. I believe that the only reason Dr. Korb took our invitation and accepted it is because of her love of this institution, because she was having some fun in retirement. I'm not sure that Mark will ever forgive us for convincing her to come back. It's my sense that the climate and the morale and the effectiveness of everybody at this institution is in a far different place today than it was a year ago. Which brings me to our new business, and that is, Our contract with Dr. Korb was for a year. Don't panic. Our new business tonight is to seek to extend that time while we continue our search. That search is ongoing. Applications are coming in. The search committee is actively reviewing those applications. By now, it's anticipated that we will have our new president seated by July 1st. But in the meantime, we cannot let Dr. Korb walk out of here. And so we're sort of mandating that she stay for another 6 months. The reason that we initially crafted that contract for a one-year period was because we really didn't know how long it was going to take. And quite honestly, I felt like it was more likely we could convince Judy to come if we promised her it would be for a year. Made it longer than that. So not that I would have somehow misrepresented what we thought to be the case, but in any event, we did craft into that contract an opportunity to extend it. There are some, and those of us who are lawyers get all caught up in the language of contracts. There was a notice period that we were obligated to abide by in order to either extend the contract or make other arrangements. We've been so caught up in how wonderful life is that that deadline came and went, and we didn't provide the requisite notice. And so the purpose of the motion I'm about to make is twofold. It is for us to waive certain requirements in the contract, providing that we give notice to Dr. Korb or that she give notice to us, and then to extend her term as interim president and CEO through June 30th of 2025. So I'm going to make the motion, but I just wanted to explain to everyone kind of the purpose for the motion. And really, Dr. Korb, you have no say in this because you can't leave. So there's that. So with that, I will make a motion that the board approve a modification to the interim president's employment agreement to do three things. First, to waive the 30-day prior notice and 90-day subsequent term limitation in Section 2 of the agreement. Second, to extend Dr. Korb's term as interim president and CEO to run through June 30th, 2025. And finally, to authorize me as the board chair to execute a written modification to the interim employment agreement for this purpose. I've made that motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Smith Everett. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Thank you so, so much for agreeing to come in and lead this institution, and what an incredible job you are doing. So we all are very grateful for that. And I'm glad you're involved in picking our next president, because we want you to find somebody just like you.
Clone, please.
So that's your mission.
No.
Okay. I don't believe there's any old business for us to take up. And so that takes us to the consent agenda. The consent agenda is that portion of the meeting that provides an opportunity for us to take up, in a single motion, matters of a fairly routine nature. I will first ask if there are any items on the consent agenda that anyone on the board would like to remove for separate discussion. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Smith Everett, seconded by Trustee Cross.
Yes.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. I am not aware of any executive session. I'll defer to our general counsel. And so with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Smith Everett, seconded by Trustee Mitchell. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. We are adjourned.
Happy holidays, everyone.